Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll meet Major General Jerry Lang and get an update from the Minnesota Veterans Home Adult Day Center. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
October 13th is the Navy's birthday. On that day, in 1775, the Continental Congress passed legislation authorizing the construction and purchase of America's first Navy ships. Every year, men and women aboard ships around the world witness a Navy-wide bell ringing. The ceremonial objective is to instill in the sailors and remind the public the importance of and the sense of pride in the Navy's history and heritage. The Navy has an age-old practice of sounding the bell during the watches on the hour and half hour. This symbolic hallmark effort is as appropriate in today's nuclear and missile-oriented Navy than it ever was. From their historic sailing vessels in the late 18th century to every command today, bell ringing signals that someone stands the watch. Bell ringing serves as a powerful and tangible reminder of the history, heritage, and accomplishments of the Navy and an enduring tradition of the Navy birthday celebration. To the proud men and women who serve in our United States Navy, congratulations to you and your proud naval history.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is retired Major General Jerry Lang. Major General, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you very much, Tom. It's certainly an honor to be here, and really appreciate the opportunity to tell you a little bit about my career and discuss some of the things that you have on mind. But it's just really an honor to be here, and I thank you very much.
Sir, we want to talk a little bit about your career in the military. When did you sign up?
I signed up on September 16th, 1971, about 42 years and 11 months in service. But you know what? I'm calling it 43. I don't care what they say.
Well, General, I'd say that was a long time ago, but that was after I got back from Vietnam. So it was just a few days ago, wasn't it, sir?
You know, I can't believe it. If you look back on basic training and crawling underneath that barbed wire, and if someone would have told me back then that I was going to spend 42 years or 43 years wearing a uniform like this, I would have said they're crazy. But it's just been a wonderful career, wonderful opportunities, and I've really enjoyed every minute of it. I wouldn't have done a single thing differently.
Yes, sir, I understand you grew up in central Minnesota, graduated from Mille Lacs.
That's right, farm boy from Mille Lacs, Minnesota.
Homegrown right here in Minnesota.
Exactly right.
And you were commissioned as a second lieutenant in 1976.
That's right. So I was an enlisted soldier for, 5 years. And I joined the Guard. I didn't really plan on joining the Guard. I thought I was going to be joining the Army. You know how it was back then. My lottery number was 2. So I knew I was going somewhere. And I was ready to join the Army. My best friend at the time just got married out of high school. He said, hey, I've got 2 positions in the Guard. Why don't you join with me? I didn't know any better, so okay, I'll do that. So we joined the Guard together.
Sir, did you ever dream that when you signed up as an E-1 that you'd end up being a 2-star general?
You know, I never even dreamed that I would be a sergeant or a second lieutenant back then. But enlisted soldier, as I said, for a few years, and I enjoyed it. And one of my mentors at the time in the unit that I was serving in talked me into going to OCS, and it's been a great career ever since then. Since 1976, as you say, is class 20 of the Minnesota Military Academy, of which General Nash, the Adjutant General, was one of my co-cadets. He and I were the last 2 remaining cadets from that class.
My goodness. Well, General, as you proceeded through your career, you were deployed a couple of times. In 2003, you were on a deployment to Bosnia.
That's correct.
Did you know what to expect when that deployment came up?
You know, we had a wonderful training opportunity. We trained for this mission probably a year out, and very intense training with a number of different organizations, both civilian and military organizations. So we did. We did know what the mission was going to be. We knew what we're getting into. We knew what we're going to be doing. We had a very complete campaign plan before we went into theater, and I think we executed that campaign plan very well.
Now, sir, was that one of those deployments where you kind of took turns being in Bosnia, so you replaced some other units who were there, were you 5th or 6th or something like that?
We were what's called S4, Stabilization Force, acronym for Stabilization Force. We were S4-14, so we were actually the 14th rotation And we replaced the 28th Infantry Division, a National Guard division headquarters out of Pennsylvania.
And so you really knew, you had some good intel on what the mission was about and what that whole deployment was going
to
be.
We did, and we had the opportunity to go in the theater a year before and actually work with the 28th Division for some time. And so it was actually the 28th Division was there prior to us, and we had an opportunity to work with them several times, and it was a very good transition. And I had a great job there.
We're speaking with retired Major General Jerry Lang on Minnesota Military Radio. General, understood you were on that deployment. You were with General Nash again.
I was. He was a commander, and I was fortunate enough to get on that deployment. Actually, you know, one of the great things about Minnesota Guard, we always had, for the most part, for the 10 or 15-year deployment cycle, we had more volunteers generally than we ever needed. I was fortunate to be on that and work with General Nash in there. And I was the multinational deputy commander for the multinational forces. So General Nash may think he had the best job as a commander, but I really think I had the best job. I had the opportunity to work with the multinational forces, a battalion from Portugal, a battalion from Turkey, Poland, and a company from Slovenia. Just a wonderful opportunity to work with these soldiers.
And, General, I understand General Nash thought that you did such a wonderful job as deputy commander on that one that he asked you to come along on another deployment when you went to Iraq.
Yes, he did. You know, it's one of the things, even with the Guard, you do a great job, you get to go back to war.
I don't know if that's a reward or a penalty, sir.
It's a reward, and I think everyone looks at it that way. But, again, a great opportunity to go back to combat zone in Iraq in 2009 and 10, and that was General Nash, deputy commander, once again, and just a wonderful opportunity once again, and travel all through Iraq. We had a large area. We had an area about as big as Minnesota, and traveled through it daily with multiple missions, and just a wonderful opportunity, and I look back on it fondly, even though it's a combat zone. I think everyone probably looks at it that way, as an opportunity to serve our nation once again in a role like that.
And, General, I understand that deployment to Iraq was kind of a historic deployment because the Guard General was in charge of half of Iraq and in charge of active duty Guard and Reserve troops.
That's exactly right. We had 9 of the 18 provinces under our command. One of the first time that the National Guard was in charge of that big of an area. In fact, the only time it was the division headquarters out of Texas that was there prior, but not nearly as big area as this. And we had, I think, probably seven different units under our command, 3-4 active duty brigades, and then 1 National Guard brigade and several active duty battalions, and worked out very well. You know, there's always concern, how are they going to work for a National Guard headquarters, but we never had any problems whatsoever. We're all soldiers. We're all Army soldiers. It wasn't National Guard. It wasn't Army. We were soldiers in the United States Army.
And, sir, I would imagine on that deployment as deputy commander, there were fires for you to put out every day.
There's always something going on, always something going on. And, and it's a big area. I flew, I think, roughly 480 hours sitting in a helicopter, just getting to where we had to go each day. And that's a long time. I think an Air Force pilot or a pilot flies about 700 hours, and that's their job. We flew in a helicopter 480 hours generally just to get to our job.
Well, it was a good thing you knew the pilots personally, sir.
We did. We had to know them very closely.
General, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about your career and being a commanding officer of a lot of the units that are part of the 34th Infantry Division, Red Bulls from the Minnesota National Guard. We're speaking to retired Major General Jerry Lang on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking today with retired Major General Jerry Lang. In general, before we went to the break, we were talking about the legendary 34th Infantry Division of the Minnesota National Guard. And going back to World War II, even before that, but in World War II, I understand the division had logged more days actual frontline combat than any other unit in the war.
They absolutely did, and we use that information a lot when we talk to our other combat divisions, even other National Guard divisions.
Well, they fought their way through Africa and Italy, and they occupied 18 German divisions that weren't otherwise available for Normandy.
And that's right, and the interesting thing is they accepted the surrender of the 34th Panzer Division from Germany once they'd gone north of Rome. So they, it was interesting that they accepted the 34th Infantry or 34th Panzer Division surrendered to the 34th Infantry Division of the United States Army and Minnesota National Guard.
And, sir, we've brought out a lot of that history of the 34th Infantry Division on this show the last few years, but you made some history with the 34th Infantry Division on those deployments to Iraq, too.
We did. I wasn't on this particular deployment, but it is a well-known fact that the 1st Brigade Combat Team in their deployment in 2006 and 7 is the longest-serving American combat brigade that served in Iraq. They were deployed for, I think, 23 months in theater for 16 months. And once again, not necessarily a record you're trying to achieve, but it's interesting that of all the combat brigades that served in Iraq, the Minnesota National Guard, 1st Brigade Combat Team, the 34th Infantry Division was the longest serving combat brigade in theater.
Sir, it's got to feel good to have been a commander through portions of the 34th Infantry Division in your career and to command those soldiers from that division.
I've had a wonderful opportunity. I've commanded at all the levels, company, two battalions, a brigade, and certainly it's an opportunity, it's an honor to be able to command and lead soldiers of the United States Army, but particularly the Minnesota National Guard and the 34th Infantry Division.
Sir, it must be a heavy responsibility to take command of troops and take them into a war zone and try to bring them all back home alive.
Well, that's your number one goal. You'll bring everyone back alive. And that's where your training comes in. It's so important that that you do train your soldiers and you prepare them for these missions. And, you know, anyone's going to do that. Certainly the Army has a very good training plan. But I would tell you that, in my opinion, the 34th Infantry Division and the Minnesota Guard takes us very, very seriously. And we have been one of the number one states and the number one divisions for years and years. If you look at the rankings of the Army National Guards and the various states for National Guard Bureau, and we're very, very proud of that.
Sir, it's got to be helpful to have a facility like Camp Ripley in Minnesota and a place where you can go up there and do all the training you want.
You know, it's a great facility, and one of the things about Camp Ripley is it's large enough and you can actually maneuver. A lot of the training bases, the training posts throughout the country don't have the space and the maneuverability that we do at Camp Ripley, but it does allow our soldiers and our troops to do intensive training. And it's also a place where a lot of other states come and train as well.
We're speaking with Major General Jerry Lang on Minnesota Military Radio. General, we were talking before we went on the air today about your family, and you had an uncle that served in World War II.
I did. He was the oldest brother of my dad's family, and single guy, never got married. They came out of the war in 1945. He joined as a private in 1941 and came out as a private in 1945, pretty typical of soldiers back then. Never talked about the war very much, except that he got malaria there. But I was the administrator for his will, and when we were preparing all that, I was startled to find and honored to find that my uncle, Howard Lang, had received a Silver Star in Bayak Island in the South Pacific. And it's the third highest medal awarded under the Medal of Honor. And reading that citation, he never, ever talked about it. It was just amazing to me and the rest of the family. They never knew about it either.
Pretty common that a lot of our World War II, Korea, and Vietnam soldiers and service members don't want to talk about it. But on that citation, you found out what he did, didn't you?
I did. I mean, it's incredible. They don't just hand out Silver Stars, as you know very well. But this particular Silver Star, the citation, beat to death three Japanese soldiers with the butt of his rifle, and then he stepped out in front of his machine gun nest under heavy fire and bayoneted to death three more Japanese soldiers. Incredible when you think about the adrenaline that was going through with mine, and it probably all took 20 seconds, but incredible bravery, incredible heroism, and I brought that citation with me on the last two deployments. I had it in Bosnia with me on the mobile on my wall, and had it in Iraq with me on my wall, too. And it certainly was an inspiration to me and everyone else who read it.
He was proud of his career in the military, but never felt compelled to tell any of those stories.
He never did. He just told me about his malaria, and that was it.
I think he's smiling at us today, sir.
I'm sure he is.
General, you've had a long career in the Minnesota National Guard. Were there one or two folks that were instrumental or that mentored you through your career?
You know, there's many. All the senior leaders, many of the adjutant generals, General Nash. Even I served with him. I served under him, and starting with them, and then back to General Shelato, the adjutant general, General Andriotti, very instrumental as I became a colonel, and all the division commanders, General Erlinson. All these individuals mentor you, and as you move up through the ranks. But it's not just the officers. I've said this many, many times before. Some of my most important lessons I learned from my platoon sergeants, staff sergeants, and command sergeant majors. And they are the heart of the Army, and the lessons that they taught me, I've carried those forever and ever. And probably the most important lessons I've learned from my senior NCOs.
And once again, it's the general staff that makes the decisions, but it's the NCOs that find a way to get it done.
And they execute, and you have to execute. A good decision is not worth anything if it's not executed.
General, we've just got about a minute left. What would you have to say to our listeners today if they asked you about, inquired about a career in the Minnesota National Guard?
I've talked to many young individuals, high school students, college students over the years, and I've always encouraged every single one of them to join the military. And even this past Veterans Day, I asked some students at a high school I was speaking at, do they even have the qualifications to be a soldier? And did they have the wherewithal to maintain and to understand the values and to live up to the values of someone in the armed forces, particularly the Army, which I'm familiar with? And not everybody can do that, and that's okay. But it's certainly a wonderful career, and anyone that does join the military will be a better person for it.
Well, looking back, you'd recommend it, sir.
I would recommend it wholeheartedly.
General, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you to the Minnesota Military Radio program for this opportunity and for not only my opportunity but for everyone else that you've interviewed and with the things that you've done to bring this great story of the United States Army and the Minnesota National Guard out to the public.
Thank you, sir. That was retired Major General Jerry Lang on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get an update from the Minnesota Veterans Home Adult Day Center. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
As Minnesotans, hunting is embedded in our culture. Families, friends, and colleagues take part in hunting together, making memories that last a lifetime. Each year, organizations across the state of Minnesota provide disabled veterans with the opportunity to hunt. As Minnesotans, many of us share the common bond of fishing and hunting. For many service members, it's the sounds, the smells, and the memories of the great outdoors that bring them back to Minnesota when they are away serving their country. Events like this connect our state's heroes with the best hunting guides while providing a therapeutic environment to heal in the outdoors. After all, it's because of the sacrifices of our service members and the veterans that we are able to do the things we enjoy most in the great outdoors. Thank you to the individuals, veteran service organizations, and private companies for giving our veterans these wonderful opportunities.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelato. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The Minnesota Veterans Home Adult Day Center is one of only two veteran home adult day centers in the country, located on the Minneapolis campus of the Veterans Home in one of the oldest buildings on the campus that was fully restored and registered with the Minnesota Historic Society. And here to discuss that now is Ann Rostrader, who is the director of the Minnesota Veterans Home Adult Day Center. Ann, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, hi. Thanks for having me back. I'd just like to say a quick hello to my dad. veteran of the United States Marine Corps, and to my mom recovering from surgery. Semper Fi, Dad. I love you guys. And thanks. Sorry, I just had to throw that in there.
Very good, Ann. Very good. It's good to have you back. We had you on a while ago, about the time that I think the Adult Day Center opened, because you were telling us about all the remodeling that was done and what a great job they did. As we mentioned earlier, it's one of the oldest buildings out on the campus. It used to be the old Veterans Home, correct?
The old Soldiers Home, it was called. It housed the infirmary, the laundry, and the kitchen for the veterans after the Civil War.
And you made it sound, as I recall, like it was really beautiful and really comfortable now.
It is beautiful. It's all state-of-the-art. It's like a big old house, three floors. And then down in the basement, we've got a lovely spa, a whirlpool tub, where we can provide bathing services for our veterans that spend the day with us.
Now, Ann, I understand that you've been a nurse for a while.
I have, since 1978. I've worked in all areas of nursing, from home health to MS nursing, geriatrics, memory care. And for the last 3 years now, I've been the director of the Adult Day Center, and I'm finally home. I love the place. I got to give a shout out to the great staff that work there and totally dedicate themselves to our veterans.
Diane, as I read when we opened this segment, this is one of only two adult day centers for veterans in the country. What is an adult day center for veterans? I know you told us about this before, but this is kind of unusual. Would you explain it to us?
Well, an adult day center, we're not a babysitting service. People think that it's a daycare center, and that just has a connotation of kids, babies. We have veterans come to us to socialize, monitor their health if that's something they need, and involve them in activities throughout the day. We have a structured program, keep their minds fresh and alert, and hopefully they eat great food and have a wonderful time.
Well, I think you were bragging about the chef the last time. How's he doing?
I think he's doing great. He's doing even better. That's Tom, our chef. Give him a shout-out, too. And what we do is, if you're out there right now and you're at home, you're caring for a veteran in your home that has Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, any other diseases, and you need help, and that's what we do. We give respite to our caregivers that are out there taking care of someone in their home so that they can remain at home and stay out of the nursing home longer.
So a lot of our veterans want to stay at home or with their family as long as possible, because it's better than any alternative.
Of course they do, and economically, it only makes sense. Nursing homes are expensive. And I think people, you know, they want to keep their loved one at home as long as possible. That's the best of both worlds for everyone involved. And to come for the day to our day center, it's anywhere from $0 to $20 a day. We go on a sliding scale according to income, so no veteran is turned away for inability to pay.
So really what the opportunity here is, if you're a veteran staying at home, the older you get, the more infirm you get, you're putting some pressure on your family because they have to take care of you to keep you home. But this adult day center is, as you said, a respite. It's an opportunity if the family member or the caregiver needs to go shopping, they need to get their hair done, they need to go to a doctor's appointment, they can take their veteran out to your place, the old soldier's home, drop them off into a really nice facility. And you've got all kinds of medical care, as you said, food, other veterans there to do some things with. I think you told me a story when we were visiting before the show about a gang of Navy guys that were in there one day.
Well, yeah. I mean, we have all our veterans are from different branches of the military. It seems like we had more Navy guys for some reason or another, but I was in the elevator with all of them one day going up to the dining room, and they got just a little frisky and said, "Don't you realize you're in this elevator with a bunch of Navy guys?" And I just turned around and I said, "Now, watch out. My dad's a Marine, so you better be careful." And they just laughed about that because they said the Navy guys hauled the Marines around. So they were
My
dad won't be happy to hear that one, though.
He'll be out visiting and checking
yes.
on you. Well, the Navy guys kind of acted like they were back in the service then.
They do. They all kind of do. Because when they all get back together like this, it's almost like they're all 17, 18 again.
Back on the ship.
They are, and they just have a ball, and we spoil them rotten and, you know, give them a lot of attention, good food. We take them on outings. They go all over the place. We did they took them to the Wounded Warrior Fishing Tournament. They go on the Let's Go Fishing outings. They go have lunch at the BFW. They go to museums. They do all these things. We have big barbecues. We have entertainers all the time. And we offer the personal care services as well, so that if the caregiver's having more trouble at home trying to, you know, bathe their veteran, we have a giant Whirlpool spa tub.
We're speaking with Ann Rostrader, the director of the Minnesota Veterans Home Adult Day Center, on Minnesota Military Radio. And you're making this sound like it's a summer camp up north. They come in and there are all kinds of activities, and you watch out for them and make sure they get their meds and get fed, and then
That's
they
right.
just have a ball.
That's right. Sometimes they don't want to go home.
Well, that's why you have security to escort them out to the car.
That's right.
Who's your typical veteran client? Somebody from the Twin Cities, I would guess, because you're right out by the airport.
Well, yeah, we're right out by the airport by Minnehaha Falls on the Minnesota Veterans Home campus by the river. And really, we get our veterans from the 5-county metro area. We don't provide transportation. That's something we're still kind of working on and looking at. But our veterans currently, either the family brings them or they all ride on Metro Mobility, which is very inexpensive.
And it sounds like if a caregiver wanted to spend a day at the Mall of America, they could just drop their veteran off at your place and they'd have a ball. They can go do their shopping, come back and get them, and they both go home.
And that's what most of our caregivers do. It's usually the spouses of our veterans, and they have a day to go to lunch with their girlfriends. They have a day to clean the house. They have a day to take a nap.
Go to a medical appointment, whatever they have to do.
Yeah, that's right. And that gives them the opportunity to recharge their batteries to care for their veteran.
And we've just got about a minute left in this segment. How do they get a hold of you? How do they contact you at the Minnesota Veterans Home Adult Day Center?
Well, we are online, or just give us a call, and that number is 612-548-5963. And you'll get a hold of the Adult Day Center main number, and ask for Ann, ask for Jenny.
So once again, that's 612-548-5963. And for all you veterans out there, if you want to give your caretaker a break, I've seen Ann a couple of times now, and she's got me on a registration for about a decade from now, so I can go out to that home. But sounds like a lot of fun. You might want to go out there for a day or two and come back occasionally.
That's right. Just give us a call. Come over and see us. Come and walk in. We'll give you a tour of the place, tell you what we're all about. You'll fall in love.
And we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the Minnesota Veterans Home Adult Day Center with Director Ann Rostrader. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting with Ann Rostrader, the director of the Minnesota Veterans Home Adult Day Center, which is one of only two veteran home adult day centers in the country, and it's located on the Minneapolis campus of the Veterans Home in one of the oldest buildings on the campus that was fully restored and registered with the Minnesota Historical Society, and it was the old soldiers' home. And Ann, you run that center with some staff, and complete facilities to take care of any needs of our veterans that want to come out for a day. You can feed them, you can handle their meds, you can help them bathe if necessary, and it sounds like there's a lot of games and a lot of camaraderie and a lot of fun.
We do. We have the best place. We have the best staff. We have a full-time registered nurse, Kim. We have a full-time social worker, Ruth. Our health information technologist, Jenny. Our dietitian, Jenny. Our wonderful chef, Tom. And we have our CNAs, which are program assistants. We've got Kathy, Mary, and Maggie. And then our wonderful recreation therapist, Jody.
And how many of these veterans can you handle any given day?
We're actually licensed for up to 35 veterans a day. Right now, we're running about 15 to 17 veterans a day. And we want to raise up that census. We want people to know about us. We're kind of a hidden gem. No one knows that we're there. Well, some do, but it's mostly been word of mouth. So we just want to know that, want everyone out there to know that we are there. And if there's, any members out there of the American Legion and the VFW that are listening today, come and see us. Give us a call. We'll show you what we're all about, and you can spread the word.
And even the Minnesota Disabled American Veterans.
You bet.
You can handle them all then.
Yes, we can.
and it sounds like day camp to me, or going off to camp and having fun.
Well, it kind of is.
So all you have to be is a veteran.
That's right.
And well, what are the costs again?
The cost is anywhere. The highest amount you would pay would be $20 a day. And that would include a full breakfast, a full lunch, snacks in the afternoon, and Tom will whip up anything from cinnamon rolls to pies to cookies to cakes, you name it.
So, what time is nap time after all those sweets?
Usually our guys do like to take a little nap after they eat, and that's fine. They can roll back in a recliner, and we'll let them sleep a little bit until the next thing starts. We do have exercise class every morning. And
With all that food in.
Yeah, or the torture chamber, as most of our guys would call it. And, we play golf, we do movies and popcorn, we do everything, and a lot of the guys like to play cards in the afternoon. They get a good game of cards going, and we just cater to our veterans all day long. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30, closed on, of course, state and federal holidays, and if you want to get your veteran signed up with us, give us a call, and we'll even help get you set up with Metro Mobility, which costs $4 each way. So it's a pretty good bargain.
We're speaking with Ann Rostrader, the director of the Minnesota Veterans Home Adult Day Center. You can find more information on that at minnesotaveteran.org, or you can call at 612-548-5963. Now, Ann, you talked about your father. He was a U.S. Marine. Has he been out to visit?
No, he hasn't. And he needs to. Dad, are you listening?
I'm in trouble now. Here come the Marines. Ann, we just got a couple minutes left. What's a typical day like when a veteran shows up at 8 o'clock in the morning?
Well, we just check you in. Our veterans do wear GPS tags, little tiny ones. And it's such a big building, we're not sure where everyone is, but I can keep monitoring that on the computer. If someone were more confused and tried to walk out toward an exit door, it'll alarm on my system, and I kind of can keep track of everyone that way. It's really state-of-the-art. So, they're going to eat a wonderful breakfast. They're going to exercise class. They're going to play a game. They're going to do bowling or golf. Then they're going to have a wonderful home-cooked lunch, and then they may go out on an outing, have movies and popcorn. We have a lady that comes in named Paula that does crafts with our guys. They might do outdoor patio games. Then they have an afternoon social, more food,
nap time,
games.
Nap time.
And then it's time for them to go home.
And Ann, it's probably important to note that the Minnesota Veterans Home is not very far away from the VA Medical Center. So if there's a serious emergency, there's people real close, isn't there?
That's right. And we stay on top of our guys all the time. If anyone sneezes or coughs, we're all over them. And I was on the first aid team for the Minnesota Twins and the Minnesota Vikings for almost 5 years. So we're right there. We can take care of any emergency that may arrive, so you don't have to worry about leaving your veteran with us.
Sounds like a great place to go for a day, but if I come out and visit, you got to promise me you'll let me go home.
Okay, if I have to.
Ann's been delightful talking to you today. For more information on the Minnesota Veterans Home Adult Day Center, you can find that at minnesotaveteran.org, or you can call 612-548-5963. And just a few seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Oh, all I can say is it's all about service, not self. And we are so proud to be serving those who served. Thank you.
Thanks for all you do. That was Ann Rostrader, the director of the Minnesota Veterans Home Adult Day Center on the campus of the Veterans Home here in the Twin Cities. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhard. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Tim, it's been a while since you've been in the studio. I think I saw you over at the State Fair somewhere, didn't
we? Yeah, the last time was a State Fair.
So the summer's been going well?
It's been going very well.
Well, you're just about out of summer.
And imagine
you and all your buddies that ride those motorcycles, they're coming to an end of that for a while, aren't you?
Well, we're at the end of the motorcycle riding part, but we'll still come in our cages. You know, we got to make sure that everybody understands that we don't slow down once the cold weather starts coming in. We just find a different mode to get there.
I got to get a picture of you in a cage, Tim. For our listeners that don't know what we're talking about, that would be a car or a truck. Because you can't ride those motorcycles all winter long to these all of these missions that the Minnesota Patriot Guard goes on. And what are those missions, Tim?
Well, mainly funeral missions, welcome homes, deployments for our military.
Visit some of the VA hospitals.
Visit some of the VAs.
You go on about 500 missions a year, and you've got Patriot Guard riders all over Minnesota.
We do.
How many people signed up now, Tim?
About 5,500.
And they're broken.
That's just Minnesota.
And you've got different parts of the state all broken out?
Yes, we do. We got it broken down into 20 sectors, which means that we got communications in each one of the sectors versus one person trying to get a hold of everybody.
And you've got ride captains out there that take control of all the missions you go on.
We have lots of ride captains. We have 20 ride captains, and we got lots of what we call ARCs, which are assistant ride captains, and those are the ones that help and run missions, and everybody's important in what we do. We're all volunteers.
Now, if a family loses a military service member, all they have to do is go to your website to ask the riders to show up at the funeral?
Yep, that's all they need. Just on the left side of the page, our webpage at mnpatriotguard.org.
Very good.
And there's a form there to send it, and it goes to about 15 different people, so we all catch it. And
you send a message out to the entire state, and you don't know how many is going to show up, but there's usually quite a few.
Well, yes, there is.
They're doing a great job of it, Tim. Now, do you ever hear back from any of those families after those missions?
Oh, yeah, we do. You know, it's such an honor for us to do that, and then when the family comes out and, you know, sometimes they even come out and address the whole group while we're there, and it's hard to keep from getting emotional yourself. You know, you're there to be strong for the family, and when they come out and talk to you, you get kind of emotional, and that's one of the reasons we wear sunglasses, not just because it's sunny.
But what a great mission that you go on, and just for honor, dignity, and respect, and show that the people of Minnesota really care about those veterans that when the time comes.
Our military is so precious. You know, they're out there giving their all just for us.
Tim, we've talked about this almost every time you come on, but who's eligible to join? A lot of people think it's Vietnam veterans and people that ride motorcycles.
No. Well, there's only about 50% of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is veterans. The rest are just ordinary people, regular people.
And it's coincidental that a lot of them ride motorcycles.
It is. You know, at one time, a motorcycle, and it probably still is a kind of a sign of freedom, and it carries on. You know, we want to give back to those that are, gave us that freedom.
I'll appreciate that, Tim, but I'll stay in my cage. It's a little safer. You could have the motorcycles. That's just not part of what we do. Tim, any final thoughts for our listeners about the Minnesota Patriot Guard?
Well, I just want to make sure that everybody out there is aware that we're still there in the winter, and we're proud to stand for our fallen heroes. We're just, you know, it's very important to us to make sure that our military understands that we really appreciate what they're doing and what they've done.
So you tell your riders to bundle up, get out your boots, get out your warm clothing, get in your cage, and let's go honor this veteran who might have passed
on.
We do.
Sometimes it's a little difficult to see who's there because they're so bundled up.
But it works.
It still works.
Tim, thanks for joining us again.
It's an honor.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We have one mention today. On Saturday, October 10th, from 5 to midnight, the Waseca VFW will pay tribute to Waseca County's greatest generation at a 70th anniversary World War II victory dance featuring Kyle Tennis and the Riverside Swing Band of Minneapolis. With the hall specially decorated in 1940s dance hall style, a special program of recognition will include food, vintage cocktails, a group swing dance lesson, and an evening of dancing. Tickets available at the Post and online at our Facebook page, Sweet Summers VFW Post 1642. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Major General Jerry Lang, Ann Rostrader, Tim Leonhardt, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.